Lift every voice and sing, till earth and heaven ring, ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as a rolling sea. Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the presence has brought us. Facing the rising sun of our new day begun, let us march on till victory is won.
Welcome to the 9 Points Podcast. I'm your host, BH. For those of you who are new, this is a family show, and we use this opportunity to try to encourage and empower people, to remind people that there's a lot of good in this world, and that we could be, if we're intentional about what's good and intentional about sharing the treating people the way we want to be treated, then a lot of the things that we don't have control over seem to lose their power. What inspired us to do this show, quite frankly, is a scripture called Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. 22, Galatians 5, 22, 23 speaks about the fruit of the Spirit, and it goes as follows. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. See, we use those principles within our family to work out problems, to have fellowship with each other. And every day is not great. Every day we don't solve things the way that would bring me the most comfort. But if I use love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, A, I'm demonstrating the fruit of God, the fruit of God's Spirit. And B, if I'm doing that to the best of my abilities with genuine desire for His will to be done, then there's probably not anything that I could have done that would have been better. I've got life experiences, I've been educated, and certain strategies that I could interject that could bring about different consequences, I feel more comfortable using God's word, especially when I have enough common sense, enough restraint to understand that the reason I might be doing something or so enthusiastic about doing something my way or so restless when it doesn't happen my way is because God is trying to teach me something. God is trying to teach me to demonstrate His strength and not just to impose my will on people. I can be pretty good at that at times. But that's not the way, the only way to show that you love your family. So today's episode is going to be different from the last several. As I had mentioned, the first 9 episodes for this season, I've been integrating the Sunday school lesson for the first segment. And I'm going to do that again in the next episode. But I wanted to go ahead and talk a little bit about attitude. And before that, I wanted to go into BH, why I consider myself BH, why I present myself to the world as BH, where that came from. To me, it's a real funny story. It's a real funny story. And also, for those people that are in my Sunday school class, if they tuned into this before and they were like, hey, who's BH? Because in my church, they call me something different. I just want you to assure you, yes, I'm BH. Yes, I'm a Sunday school teacher. Yes, we used to have class from the 8th grade up through the 12th graders. Yes, I'm that teacher. I'm that teacher. But I had so much fun this past weekend. I was with my family celebrating my aunt's birthday. And I was with some of my brothers that I grew up with. And I say brothers, my parents didn't have any, I didn't have any biological brothers, but my cousins are my brothers. They were my first brothers. They are my true brothers. And it was mostly due to my cousins that I got that name BH. And let me go ahead and just break it all down. I think it's kind of fun, and hopefully you get a laugh out of it, at least a couple of laughs, and then it'll transition into what I was wanting to talk about later on, which is attitude. Well, it all began one bright Monday afternoon at Louisville Male High School, my freshman year of high school. And I went to my German class. My parents wanted me to take German because when I was born, I was on a military base in Würzburg, Germany. I wanted to take Spanish. Still wish I had took Spanish. But first day of my freshman year of high school, I'm upstairs in Miss Hazard's German class. And Miss Hazard was able to, you know, every year she would go around and she'd ask everybody their name, and she could remember just about everybody's name most of the time without incident. Well, of course, me having the luck that I do, it didn't quite work that way. So towards the end of the class, there was a young man named Bill McMahon, and he either sat right in front of me or right beside me or something. And she was going around the class, and she got everybody's name right, and she got to me, and she called me Bill Hill. And the whole class erupted. The class erupted. Bill Hill, Bill Hill, Bill Hill, Bill Hill, Bill Hill. Oh, everybody just had a laugh. And that was funny to me. It was funny to me at first. But, you know, I didn't think too much of it. I thought that was, you know, that was pretty much one of the highlights of the day. So I got on the bus and was coming back home, and one of my best friends who lived next door, his name was Mike, and I talked to him. We was just talking just in general, and I told him about what happened in my German class, and he fell out laughing. He was laughing pretty good. So, you know, I didn't think too much of it. Little did I know, Mike, who started, you know, he every once in a while starting that week, he would say Bill. He would call me Bill and just start laughing. I didn't know he was going to tell everybody. Somehow, word got to my cousins. And my cousins thought it was more funny than Mike did. So, Bill Hill, Bill Hill, Bill Hill. Should I name names? But y'all know who you are. Y'all know who you are. Bill Hill, Bill Hill. And it was so funny. They just started calling me Bill, and I hated it. I really hated it. It went from being real funny, like an inside joke, to when them calling me that, I couldn't stand it. I used to get mad at them. I'd chase them around every once in a while. If I could catch up with them, I'd give them a frog, you know, trying to discourage them. One of my cousins took it to a whole new level. Bill Hill wasn't good enough. There was a cartoon that was made by the same people that did Scooby-Doo, and they had these characters named the Blue Falcon and Dog Wonder or Danger Mutt or something like that. And he used to, since the Blue Falcon, you know, his name is Blue Falcon, the dog would refer to him as BF. Well, one of my cousins decided he's going to start calling me BH. Like the dog was like, hey, BF, da-da-da-da-da, hey, BF, da-da-da-da. So my cousin said, hey, it's BH, hey, it's BH. And that took my frustration to a whole new level, because now they've got different layers of jokes on me. And it was nothing, you know, looking back at it, you know, that's just kids doing what kids do. And no, I wasn't ready to fight anybody over, but you know how when somebody has a good joke, it doesn't always feel good to you. So, you know, Bill Hill, BH, BH, you know, they had all kind of fun with that. And then, you know, the icing on the cake. One night we went to Blinkers, And Blinkers was a club for teenagers. You know, it was, I think it was off of 3rd Street. And it was either Christmas night or it was my birthday night, because my birthday is December 26th. Now I'm thinking about it, I think it was my birthday. But we were in there, and one of my cousins went up to the DJ and told them to give a shout out to Bill Hill. Well, on my birthday at Blinkers, I'm trying to have fun, trying to, do what you do at a club. And next thing you know, the DJ is like, "I'd like to send a special shout out to Bill Hill. Where you at, Bill Hill? Bill Hill in the house. Bill Hill, where you at? Where you at?" And I was about 2 inches tall at that moment. My cousins were laughing so hard they were on the ground, because now the DJ didn't call me out. He's like, "Come on to the booth, Bill Hill. Bill Hill's in the house." Oh, he just kept on. It was so much. It was huge. It was a huge hit for them. And I to this day, as I'm telling this story, I'm still laughing about it because they really got me. So, over time, I stopped, I it went from I hate it to, yeah, I guess, whatever. But now, for the most part, most of them still call me Bill or BH, instead of my given name, which is Tim. So BH is a name given to me by my brothers, my friends. And I'm sure there are a lot of people out there named Bill Hill. They go by Bill Hill. I mean it's cool, I guess. It rhymes, and a lot of people probably prefer that. But it started off for me as something that I could not stand. And why? Why did I have such a problem with Bill Hill? I had a problem with Bill Hill because it offended my pride. And if you've been paying attention to this podcast, you know how much I talk about the dangers of pride. Pride is never good. I know that some people like to give a counter argument, and I can respect it, and I don't have to argue with people about it. Maybe we can just agree to disagree, but pride doesn't bring good things in my life. I just really don't believe that. And I believe that my response to the BH was just that my pride was offended, and I couldn't put the genie back in the bottle. I couldn't make my family stop doing that. So before I met friends at Alabama A&M, before I met friends and made new brothers at Kentucky State University, my first brothers gave me the nickname Bill Hill, aka BH. And for that reason, that is the name, that is the title that I have been presenting myself to you guys with. And I just wanted to share that because I felt like smiling, and I wanted to acknowledge that attitude means a lot. As I was coming in today, I was praying, and I was thinking about some things. And I just wanted to kind of put the whole thing about attitude into the context. Now, I'm gonna get ready to go up front, being ready to go in the building and check in for my job. And if you have a job, like most people have a job where you need, you have supplies. You need supplies to help your job, to help you with your job, to do your job to the best of your abilities. And a lot of times you make do with what you have, but certain things you put the order in and you're waiting, and you know how it is. You know how it is. You're like, "I'll be so glad when it gets here. I'll be so glad when it gets here. Why is it taking so long for my supplies to get here? They expect me to do all this work. They expect me to do even more work, and they're not giving me the tools that I need to do my job." And you know what I'm talking about. If you have a job like mine, you have a job, if you've ever had a job like mine, you know that experience. And A, you want to do things to the best of your abilities, but also you want to feel like your voice matters, that you might start to feel like if other people ask for things and they get it, why can't you get the things that you need? And that makes you boil, and that makes you boil. But inevitably, more often than not, every day of the week, we go out and we do the best that we can. We use the supplies that we have. And if we get the correct supplies at some point, it gives us relief. It gives us some satisfaction. Sometimes it excites us. Sometimes it gives us hope, because now we've got these supplies and we've been replenished and we can go out and do things as we intended. But, you know, just thinking about that scenario and something that we can all relate to, I think it's important to possibly, for me, think about my prayers. There are times when I pray for certain things that I hope will prepare me for certain responsibilities that I wake up to, certain responsibilities that I walk into because of different things in my life. And I want those things. I want those things so that I can feel like I'm prepared. But sometimes I need to do things with what is on hand and not necessarily get what I'm asking for in that moment. I might not like it. I might be frustrated. It might feel like other people can get what they ask for, but God wants me to do my best without having envy for what I think somebody else has, or comparing my blessings to the blessings or different opportunities that other people get. I don't know what other people are going through, just like they don't know what I'm going through when I'm blessed. I don't like for people to draw conclusions about me when they don't know me, just because I'm happy or just because I'm having a good day or just because there are certain things that that have finally come in that I've been hoping for a long time. I might be really, really extremely happy and extremely loose and very comfortable within myself. And depending on how you are in your heart, when you see somebody that's very comfortable within themselves and just enjoying the moment, you can project certain negative feelings onto them. You can draw negative conclusions about them based on something that's not right inside of you. So I know I've done that. I know that I struggle with that to this day. But I'm thankful that when I see myself thinking about them and what they do, whether it be talking about different fans, I love sports, different fan bases or different cultures or different political parties or different religions. When I start thinking about them, I thank God that before long, I'm able to remember, I got to get out of this they, them stuff. I and we are always the good guys, and they and them always need to get right. But God reveals to me in my heart, I need to get right. And if I'm doing something better than I did yesterday, I need to stay right. So I shouldn't be allowing myself to get consumed with frustration and anticipating the consequences for somebody else that's not getting right. My attitude should be on my work. Just like I was talking about, we do our job and wait for supplies from humans. Maybe you contract with a company to bring you your stuff and it's running late. You're not going to stop doing your job if your job is important. If your job is important to you and if you have pleasure in the work that you're doing, you're not going to stop doing your job just because you don't have certain things that you've requested. And I believe that the scripture gives us opportunities to look at our challenges and look at our responsibilities and have hope that someday what we're asking for will be provided to us. But I'll tell you something that's almost as dangerous as going without something that you need. Something that's almost as dangerous is receiving something that you're not prepared for. Receiving something that's supposed to be good, but you're not quite prepared for it. That, I believe, is the function of dealing with certain frustrations in our family. We need to deal with those frustrations to the best of our abilities, knowing that when we pray, the order is coming. Either the shipment of what we're asking for is coming from the ultimate supplier, who is God. Either it's on the way, and I need to be patient, and I need to be diligent, and I need to be and I need to do things the right way and not allow disappointment to creep in. So that if I get those things that I'm asking God for, I will know that it's not because I'm so good that I'm receiving them. It's because He wants me to enjoy some kind of satisfaction, to enjoy some kind of peace of mind, so that I can do my job as a husband, as a father, or what, you know, as a sister, as a brother, as a wife, as a mother, wherever you are in your family and you're hearing this, when God blesses you, it's so that you can do the good work, do the right work, the right way. And you can't allow damaged pride to interfere with your application, how you apply yourself to the work, because the work is infinitely more important than your perceived pride, your perceived attack against your pride. So a whole lot of bad things happen when we try to defend our pride instead of doing the work that we're supposed to do for our families. And honestly, we're doing stuff for our families, but first and foremost, we're doing stuff for ourselves. We're doing stuff so that our relationship with God remains as pure as possible. And when our relationship with God is as consistent and as pure as possible, then the work becomes a reflection of that. And the other things that I'm asking for will be given to me when the time is right, when He wants me to have them, or He will give me things that I need that are better than what I was originally asking for. So this is me just wanted to go ahead and do this with a little interjection, give you guys the backstory to BH, and just remember that you're loved. There's nothing that you're going through that somebody else hasn't experienced or come to the conclusions and had the response that you have. Hang in there. If your work is worthwhile, and I'm not talking about the amount of money you're going to get or the amount of people that's going to pat you on the back. If you are doing what you're doing for God's glory, if you're doing it that way and you're doing it with truth, right, love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you are going about doing your work with the full armor of God, truth, righteousness, peace, the gospel, salvation, faith, and the Holy Spirit, then do it with a healthy spirit, with healthy faith. Apply your faith to the tasks that are before you. And sometimes, every once in a while, the sun will break through and you will realize that you're blessed in the same thing, in the ways that you're asking for. So that's all I have for today. Remember that wealth is to be spent, but treasure is to be shared. Go out, have a great day. God bless you.